CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, and we're very pleased to welcome Charles Burton of Synopsis. He's in Canada to help us understand, from the Canadian point of view, the threat represented by Russia, China, Tehran, Pyongyang, and now especially the reports, and variously confirmed, of North Korean combat soldiers involved in training, preparation in some fashion with the conflict in Ukraine. There are many moving parts here, so I begin with Charles's opinion of these reports. They've come in scattershot these last days. Charles, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. North Korean combat troops, and there are details suggest these are not cannon fodder, but in some fashion well-trained, now being equipped in Russia. There is a possibility they're meant to take the place of Russian troops that are to be sent to Ukraine. The Navy, for example, has been sending its sailors to Ukraine, though there's no fleet action involved at this point. What do you make of the North Korean reports? Is this propaganda that suits the Kremlin, or is it genuine? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, I think there's certainly very clear indications that, North Korea is training troops for participation in the Ukraine war, and that they are out of North Korea and into Eastern Europe to participate in this activity. I think the main concern, I think, is not so much the numbers of them, which is Zelensky suggests 10,000. I think the U.S. is suggesting there's 3,000 so far, but that they indicate the willingness of China to use its proxy, North Korea, to further Russia's ambitions in Ukraine and prevent the Ukraine war from failing, or at least continuing to be a war of attrition against the Western powers. So there has been some speculation that, you know, North Korea and Russia are working independently of China and that China is unhappy about this development. But based on my own understanding of the relationship between China and North Korea, close as lips and teeth, the two leading parties, the North Korean Workers' Party and the Chinese Communist Party, being essentially one movement, the idea that North Korea could do anything without the behest of China is very hard to conceive. When North Korea has got out of line, China then reduces its inputs into North Korea through the land border and ceases to assist in the breaking of the sanctions by transfer of goods to North Korea on North Korean ships at sea. So there's no question that North Korea does not act independently of China, and this movement would suggest to me a deepening of the integration of China, Russia, and Iran in global affairs, and their confidence that the West is in decline and that they can assume greater power in geostrategic terms in years ahead. So I see it as a very signal development. Incidentally, you know, about 10 years ago, China was debating whether they should establish normal state-to-state relations between China and North Korea, which was the way it was put. This idea was rejected. There is no question that if they're North Korean troops going into Ukraine, they're really representing China.
Gordon, I have a question for Charles.
Charles, the U.S. policy establishment almost unanimously thinks that China is upset about the closer relations between North Korea and Russia, and that China is upset with the sending of the troops. You have talked about the historic relation between Beijing and Pyongyang. If you could talk a little bit about what's going on, you think, at this moment. I know that they're both obscure and hard to read regimes, but it seems that there are significant developments now between the Chinese and the North Koreans that suggest that, hey, you're absolutely right about this.
Yes, I think that any idea that somehow or other China is not fully supportive of this movement, or in fact it is at China's behest, I think, which is really the only way that North Korea can respond, serves the Chinese interest in suggesting to the West that somehow or other China supports the integrity of national boundaries and is not happy about what Russia has done in Ukraine. I think that there is absolutely no basis for this assumption. Nothing in Chinese statements or assurances to the United States that this is so. And certainly, I think that China sees this war as a benefit to China. Not that there is a long-term alliance between China and Russia and Iran. I mean, after all, China still believes that China should be in control of Amur and the parts of Manchuria that Russia assumed in the Second Opium War in 1860. And China most recently has called for the use of the Chinese word Haishenwai to refer to Vladivostok. So, you know, it does seem to be a temporary instrumental alliance, or maybe not alliance is too strong, but a relationship between Russia and China, and that ultimately China will come out and continue its plan of global domination, the community of the common destiny of mankind, putting Russia into a subsidiary position. So, you know, the relationship between China and Russia is not one which is without considerable frictions over different visions of the world. China thinks that China should be dominating the entire planet through its Belt and Road program and other international attempts to curry favor with third world countries and build ports and other strategic facilities to challenge the West. Russia wants to restore the Russian Empire, which it regards as what the Soviet Union was representing. There's a tension between those two in the longer term.
Charles, this can be interpreted as escalation. I'm keen on knowing Ottawa's opinion about the North Korean reports, and not only the Trudeau government, but also the opposition, the polling very well for the next election. Have either party expressed an opinion of the North Korean reports?
I don't think that we've heard anything out of either party who, you know, because of our Canada's own lack of capacity to contribute militarily to constraining China's global agenda, you know, Canada is hard-pressed to come out very strongly on anything, because Canada really can't put anything behind its rhetoric and words. I think that this kind of thing is not well understood. The implications of this kind of thing is not well understood, that they're sending in crack North Korean troops that are separately, from what we hear from intercepted conversations, are being separately supplied to become a much more effective force to further Russian interests in resolving the Korean crisis. And I suppose that there's some desire for Russia to gain as much territory as possible prior to January 20th because of whatever their reading is of the statements by Mr. Trump, that he plans to resolve the Ukraine war in one telephone call.
And therefore, Ottawa is standing back, but it is G7 and NATO. It has a voice. Is it unusual that Mr. Trudeau has not brought forth an opinion?
It's not unusual that he hasn't brought forth an opinion in the sense that he's certainly someone who is not well-oriented towards the importance of hard power, military hardware in defense of the Arctic, Indo-Pacific, or Europe. But at this time, his leadership is in such crisis that I think his mind is on other things.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Charles, when must Trudeau call the next election? Because it seems that Canada is sort of in this sort of period where it's just taken itself out of the international system. When will this be resolved?
Well, he must have an election by the fall of 2025, but presently there's a significant challenge within his own party to remove him as leader, although there don't seem to be effective mechanisms to remove him if he doesn't want to go. And the Bloc Québécois, the separatist party, has made some demands on the government with regard to enhancing old age pensions that they expected to see before October 29th, or they would withdraw their support for the government. So the government could fall at any time, and the election could occur, you know, within weeks from now. But the most likely scenario is an election in Canada in the spring of 2025. Whether it's Mr. Trudeau leading the Liberals or someone else, there's clear indications from polling that it will be a devastating loss for that party, and that the Conservatives will come into power with a majority government, and their rule over Canada will be solid for the next 5 years.
Charles Burton is a senior fellow at Synopsis. He's in Ottawa. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. A Canadian election in 2025. There is life after November 5th.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.